You're listening to Andrew on BadMovies.org Radio. This week I have a letter from a listener named Todd in New York, and he writes me this. Dear Andrew, I work in a convenience store downtown. It's the night shift, and frequently at 2 a.m., I'm concerned that the people wandering the aisles are not entirely human. What can I do? Todd, I am really glad you wrote me, because working downtown in a convenience store in New York, it's pretty likely you are going to encounter some denizens in the night. All right. Among the most powerful fiends you might encounter is Nosferatu, which is also known as a vampire. Do you have any of those anti-theft mirrors in your store? The kind that lets you sit behind a counter and watch what people are doing on the back aisles. You use them to keep the college students from stealing your Pop-Tarts. If you worked in a grocery store, you wouldn't have to worry about people stealing Pop-Tarts. But you work in a convenience store, so they're like $4 a box. Which means it's much more likely that some starving college student who's only got $2 but wants some Pop-Tarts is going to put them in his shorts. That security mirror is your friend. It is going to keep you alive. I want you to look in it as somebody comes in your store. If they cast a reflection, they're not a vampire. They're just that pale. They're probably a convenience store clerk that works in some other convenience store on a night shift. But it's his night off, and his convenience store isn't so convenient to him, so he's come to your store. If they don't cast a reflection, then that's a vampire. Congratulations, you found the vampire and they're in your store. You're probably safe for the time being. They've already been out all night raving or feeding at a rave. And they just stopped in to pick up some items before turning in for the day. I'm telling you right now, don't confront the vampire. They are centuries old, they're twice as strong as a man, they're twice as fast as a man, and you are a convenience store clerk. If you mess with him, he will kill you. If you want to kill the vampire, what you need is a vampire hunter, and I'm going to tell you how to find one. Go back to your home neighborhood and look around for an old house with big trees that are really close to it. The kind of place that's well kept, but you never see anybody going in and out. Go up to that door and knock on it. The person that answers is probably not going to be the vampire hunter. It's just going to be a servant. They might assist the vampire hunter, but you don't want their help because there's nothing worse than an amateur vampire hunter. You want to talk to the lord or the lady of the house. And when you get face to face with them, you're going to tell them.
Last night I was working the night shift in my convenience store, and about 2 a.m. somebody came in, and when I looked up in the mirror, they didn't cast a reflection. So what do you think of that?
Now, if the person at the door gets angry or asks you if you're crazy, you're at the wrong house. This is not a vampire hunter. You need to go find another house that meets the criteria I detailed earlier. However, if they act interested, if they start asking you questions, or if they respond by asking you a rhetorical question, such as, "Why would you bring to my attention a customer in your store who did not cast a reflection?" then you found a vampire hunter, you're good to go. The vampire hunter is going to need your help, both in tracking it back to its lair and in challenging the fiend in the very heart of its domain. You're probably not going to survive, because while the vampire hunter understands how vampires think and what sort of tricks and traps they use, you don't. You might manage to kill a couple of the vicious dogs that guard the vampire's house, or even put a stake into a minor thrall, but in the end, you're going to be impaled on spikes, or bitten by the vampire, or something worse. Them's the breaks. I'm not trying to convince you not to help the vampire hunter, because you're just a convenience store clerk. Your life is definitely worth that of a vampire's. It's like using a pawn to take somebody's queen in chess. What's your other option? Go ahead and go back to the convenience store and eventually die in obscurity? Perhaps even die at the hands of the vampire that you refuse to help kill? No, your best bet, Todd, is definitely go find a vampire hunter and go down swinging. One of your other possible late-night visitors is a werewolf, and what you're looking for here is hair, and you might have a hard time distinguishing them from other hairy people that come in the store, like truck drivers, or the waitresses who work at truck stops, who can't understand why they're 40 and not married yet, and it's because they're hairier than the truck drivers who might ask them to marry them. So, you're looking for hair. You're looking for it in weird places, like on their palms, on the inside of their arms, on their forehead, and I don't mean a unibrow, I mean that it looks like they have a toupee glued to their forehead. If a werewolf comes in, He's probably in the middle of changing or on the verge of changing, and he's hungry. So he's going to make a beeline for the canned meat products. Don't let the werewolf eat canned Hormel chili. What that stuff does to the intestinal system of somebody who is not undergoing a change between wolf and human is bad enough. Besides, if you feed him, he's just going to go home, finish changing, and then return to the store where he last found food and eat you. Then he'll probably mark his territory near his kill. The next morning, you're going to have some cop in the store talking to his partner, saying something along the lines of, "Hey Charlie, you ever heard about a wolf in New York City?" He and his partner are going to start talking about the day after tomorrow, because they both remember that there were wolves running loose in New York in that stupid movie. Now, notice, you're still dead. Your body's lying there, torn apart, in a convenience store, in the middle of a huge puddle of wolf urine, because you didn't listen to me, so I hope you're ready to listen to me. Take the werewolf to the cold remedy aisle, and what you're looking for is something that you're not allowed to drive or operate heavy machinery after you take it, like NyQuil. Let him buy 6 or 7 bottles of NyQuil, and tell him to go home and drink one, because if he chugs a bottle of NyQuil, voila, you survive. He'll be asleep. He can't turn into a werewolf. He can't return to where he found Hormel chili, and he can't kill you and then urinate on your body. This is your best course of action, because you're not going to kill the werewolf. There's nothing silver in a convenience store to aid you. You can look through the cash register all you want, but your fate has been sealed by the U.S. Mint. Alright, so that's 2 possible creatures you might have in your store at 2 a.m. There's one last that I want to talk about, and that's Frankenstein's monster, or some sort of patchwork creation of a mad scientist. And the mad scientists tend to build these things and then forget about them. And the monsters tend to wander off and end up in convenience stores at 2 a.m. Or else the mad scientist doesn't like what he built, and then he beats it until the monster finally gets angry enough that it smashes him. And then it goes wandering around and ends up in your convenience store at 2 a.m. Do you have one of those buzzers that goes off whenever a new customer comes in the door? You probably do, and that's bad, because Frankenstein's monster is going to come in the door, and the buzzer is going to go off, and it's going to startle him. And he's going to smash it. And then he's going to look over at you because you're screaming because he just smashed the door buzzer, and he's going to come over and smash you. Disconnect that buzzer and find something pleasant sounding for the door, like chimes. That way, when Frankenstein's monster comes in the store, instead of getting angry at the buzzer, he hears nice little chimes going off, and he turns around to play with them, which gives you enough time to recognize the fact that you have Frankenstein's monster in the store. Once you recognize that you have Frankenstein's monster in the store, don't start screaming, because we go right back to the smashing. Go over and help him. All he wants is experience. He wants to know what the world is about. So lead him back to the magazine aisle and give him some magazines. Don't give him anything that requires a lot of reading, because while he might have the brain of a genius, after it's laid on a slab for a couple days, then been taken out and stuffed into the body of a criminal by an unlicensed mad scientist, reading comprehension goes out the window. If you give him something that requires a lot of reading, he's going to get frustrated and he's going to smash you. Are you starting to see a trend here? If you startle him, if you frustrate him, if you get him angry, if you do anything other than keep him happy, he's going to smash you. Now the problem with life is, sooner or later, people aren't happy. What you want to do is keep Frankenstein's monster happy until you can pawn him off on somebody else. Then he can get angry while they're around. Which is their problem, not yours. So give him stuff that doesn't require a whole lot of reading. Like Maxim, or Muscle Fitness, or Reader's Digest. One of those. He'll stay there, happily leafing through the magazines until morning when you turn over your shift. Then the next clerk can walk down the magazine aisle, see him, and scream, "Ah! It's Frankenstein's monster!" and startle Frankenstein's monster and get smashed. But it's not you. You're home, in bed, asleep, which is a heck of a lot better place than a convenience store at 6 in the morning while some huge sewn-together cadaver tries to beat you into a bloody pulp with his fists because you startled him. Todd, I hope you were taking notes, because that's all the time I have this week. I'll see you next time. You've been listening to Andrew on badmovies.org radio.